Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WPHT HD WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, the question is, who will be the pick, and will we get it before 7 o'clock tonight? Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it. And the White House reverses the plea deal on the 9/11 terrorists. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thanks for being here today. It's going to be a big week. Just as a programming note, I will be on Fox News, America's Newsroom, tomorrow morning at 9:15 a.m. to talk about the vice presidential pick. And I don't know if Kamala Harris will have announced it by then or not. Betting odds right now are showing that it's either going to be Governor Josh Shapiro or Senator Mike Waltz. I don't know if I really believe that or not, but apparently it's come down to those final two. She is still not decided yet. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think the Jewish thing hurts Shapiro because there's so many people in the Democrat Party that hate Israel. So I think otherwise, I mean, he's a perfect pick. Perfect pick for her. I mean, why not? Guy's malleable. Guy will do whatever he has to do to get ahead. He's he can turn it up and sound like Barack Obama when he wants to. But he's Jewish. At a time when the Democrat Party right now is, you have a lot of very anti-Israel. They want River to the Sea chants to be okay, and it's a problem. Not a problem for me. I'm not a Democrat. It's a problem for them. That's why that clip I played you earlier of Jonathan Greenblatt and Joe Scarborough talking about all the anti-Semitism that's directed his way, it's being directed his way by Democrats, not by Republicans, not by conservatives, by other Democrats. They're trying to get her to not pick him because the guy's Jewish. It's despicable. It's despicable, and it should be called out as being despicable. And people should say that. But again, as I also went into great detail with you during the drive at five, the whole idea that Kamala Harris is not really black, that started with the Democrats again. That was their whisper campaign that they ran against her, forcing her in that Democrat primary to come out and prove her black bona fides. So, but they don't, they're never held accountable for any of this stuff. They're never held accountable for any of this stuff. Before I get into the Josh Shapiro stuff, let me just play this clip. This is, we had a bad economic day today, as you know. Forbes chairman and editor-in-chief Steve Forbes was on Fox Business early this morning. He was talking about Trump's economic policy versus Kamala Harris' economic policies. And this is what he said, cut number four. Cut four. That's policy. After three
Looks
and
best
right before.
For investors, Harris or Trump?
That's easy. Trump's Harris. And her plan, as you point out, would put this economy into a severe recession. You need investment to get the economy to grow and raise standards of living. She would destroy capital, especially with that wealth tax. Corporations, where do they get the money to pay their taxes from? From the consumer, from workers, from shareholders. So all around, it would put the U.S. economy in a downturn. Already the world economy is weak. This has global implications, and it would be a disaster.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's why I still think it's the economy stupid, to quote James Carville. It's the economy stupid. But there's also a lot of stupid things Kamala Harris has said in her past. Here's one of them. She screamed at the press while arguing the merits of an open immigration system, ultimately making a complete fool out of herself. This happened, and the New York Times estimated 85,000 migrant children have gone missing thanks to the Biden-Harris administration's ineptitude. This was put out by The Blaze on X over the weekend. Cut 18.
And when we all sing happy tunes and sing Merry Christmas and wish each other Merry Christmas, these children are not going to have a Merry Christmas. How dare we speak Merry Christmas? How dare we?
85,000 children have gone missing in this because of this administration and their open border position. So speaking of the border, I mentioned this on Fox News yesterday when I was on with Mike Emanuel, but Josh Shapiro, when he was the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, long, long time ago, came out and said back in 2019, all the way back in 2019, said it was a fake crisis. Shapiro called Trump's policy on the border abhorrent and inconsistent with U.S. asylum laws and fundamentally at odds with our core principles and values. Shapiro also threatened legal action in 2019 over Trump's declaration of a national emergency in order to divert funding to the ongoing border wall project. Thank you to my dear friend Val from the Pennsylvania GOP for sending me that yesterday. Actually, right before I went on Fox News. Her timing was impeccable. Yeah, Josh Shapiro has said a lot of things. And, you know, to John Fetterperson's point about Shapiro being basically a shapeshifter who will be anything he has to be politically, this is from Politico. On the Board of Pardons in December of 2019, Lee and Dennis Horton's freedom came up for a vote. The brothers were seen within the walls as model prisoners, and their own prison superintendent advocated for their release. Their clemency applications failed 2-3, with Shapiro opposing them and Fetterman in favor. Shapiro expressed frustration that there were missing court documents in the case. Afterward, John Fetterperson told the Philadelphia Inquirer that the, quote, trajectory of my career in public service will be determined by their freedom or lack thereof, a thinly veiled threat to run against Shapiro for governor in 2022. When the Horton brothers' clemency came up for a vote again, in December 2020, the board supported it, including Shapiro. The then attorney general's spokesperson said he wanted time to interview the two men separately and review the missing files. Fetterman saw the entire episode as an example of how Shapiro puts his political future ahead of doing whatever he thinks is right. Now, this is where he and Kamala Harris will be the best of friends if she does ultimately pick him, because Kamala Harris is also somebody else who just blows with the wind. Should I be tough on crime? Should I be loose on crime? It really just depends on which way the political winds are blowing. Now, when it comes to Josh Shapiro's love of Barack Obama, it's a little bit creepy. New York Times has a piece about this. In fact, Mr. Shapiro described Obama as someone whose example I've tried to emulate. He declined to comment on any communication that he's had with President Obama, but some have suggested, sometimes lightheartedly, sometimes mockingly, that Mr. Shapiro has taken his goal of emulating Mr. Obama's example literally. Among the likenesses, they both managed to end up with family dogs named Bo. And Mr. Shapiro's cadence, rhythms, and sometimes even hand gestures can seem so reminiscent of the former president's that some have started jokingly referring online to Mr. Shapiro as the Jewish Obama. Right? That's from the New York Times story. So we have a little side-by-side, and this is the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. I've told you how Josh Shapiro is a stalker. He's been stalking Kamala Harris. Kamala, call me. Call me, Kamala. Dropping swear words, trying to get her attention. Well, it seems like he's also stalking Barack Obama a little bit, naming the family dog Bo, and trying to sound like Barack Obama so much, that it's a little bit creepy, pathetic. You could say all those things. There's a little side-by-side comparison of the two. Take a listen.
You could not have a clear contrast between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump.
You deserve better than somebody who's just trying to make a quick buck. Somebody willing to say anything to get attention. You deserve somebody who knows you.
And let me tell you something. He's pretty afraid. Y'all see, he's backing out of the debate now. He's afraid to stand toe-to-toe with our vice president.
You deserve somebody who stood side-by-side with you. Somebody who will work every day and fight for you. Somebody who's actually from Pennsylvania.
And you know why that is? It's not just because she's a skilled debater. It's not just because she's got the right positions on the issues that matter most to the good people of Pennsylvania and this country. It's because he can't run away from his record any longer.
You deserve somebody like John Fetterman.
Well, you don't have Josh Shapiro saying that because he doesn't like Fetterman, but otherwise, holy cow. It's like mini-me. He's the lesser Obama, is what he is. He's the lesser Obama, trying to do a bad impression of Barack Obama every time he goes out and speaks. Oof, it's creepy. It's awkward. It's very, very awkward, if you ask me. It really is. This article, though, from the New York Times is hysterical as it gets into how much he admires Obama, wants to be just like him one day, wants to just be him. So now the question is, of course, is Barack Obama pulling the strings behind the scenes to help Josh Shapiro become the VP? I don't know the answer to that. I have no way of knowing the answer to that. I do know, though, that Barack Obama was obviously pulling the strings and orchestrating the coup against Joe Biden and got Joe Biden out of the race for president. We all know that. We all know that. And do you know that Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes sat down with the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, and grilled her over the Democrat mutiny against Joe Biden? And while she didn't throw Barack Obama under the bus directly, she wanted it to be very clear that it was not her doing. All right. And it wasn't. I don't think it was. I don't think Pelosi's got the clout or the power. I think it was all Barack Obama behind the scenes and ultimately threatening Joe Biden, threatening the Biden family, the Biden crime family, threatening all of them. But here's the exchange. Cut 12.
There have been reports that it was Nancy Pelosi who orchestrated a coordinated effort to squeeze President Biden to drop out.
Please tell us what you told President Biden to persuade him to step aside.
Well, I've never shared any conversations with the President of the United States publicly, no.
It's said that he's furious at you. Is he?
Well, he knows that I love him very much.
I understand that you don't want to own this. But it is so well reported that you were the leader of a pressure campaign.
No, I wasn't a leader of any pressure party. Well, let me say things that I didn't do. I didn't call one person. I did not call one person. I could always say to him, I never called anybody.
Careful, Leslie. Watch that neck. I'm just saying, watch that neck. Oh, we have a contest. Well, we don't really have a contest, but excuse me, we have a giveaway. And the giveaway, a pair of tickets to see Dom Giordano with Donald Trump Jr. for our next Politics and Pints, which is coming up on, when is it? I lost the sheet. Where is it? DeSantis, when is it?
I believe it's
coming up sometime.
Hang on, I have it in front of me. September 12th at
September
the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey.
Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey. Your chance to see if you're caller number 12 right now at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. You'll get a pair of tickets to see Politics and Pints, Donald Trump Jr. September 12th, Scottish Rite Auditorium, Collingswood, New Jersey. You can get your tickets by going to 1210WPHT.com. Caller number 12 at 855-839-1210. All right. Good luck. Good luck to you. We'll be giving tickets out all week. And yeah, it should be fun. So now the worst thing I've read in a while, and I read a lot of dumb things. I really do. I read a lot of dumb things. But the dumbest op-ed I've read in a long time in Politico, and it's entitled Mussolini, Trump, and What Assassination Attempts Really Do. I'm telling you, you cannot make this up. A scholar of Mussolini and authoritarianism explains how failed attacks can be used to consolidate power. And of course, they show a picture of Benito Mussolini with a white bandage on his nose, you know, reminiscent of Trump with the bandage on his ear, obviously, because, and the piece begins, Ruth Ben Ghiat is a professor of history and Italian studies at New York University and the author of Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present. She writes the lucid Substack on threats to democracy. On April 7th, 1926, fascist leader Benito Mussolini gave a speech to a conference of surgeons and then began walking with his aides through the streets of Rome. When he reached the Piazza del Campidoglio, I'm Italian, I should know how to say that. An Irish-born British pacifist named Violet Gibson stepped out of the crowd and shot him. Campiglioglio, that's it. The bullet grazed Mussolini's nose and Gibson tried to shoot him again, but her gun malfunctioned and police quickly detained her. Mussolini was whisked to safety, but a few hours later he appeared in public to reassure his fans and posed for a photograph with a big white bandage on his nose. Get it? Assassination attempts are an effort to change a political order in one foul swoop, but history shows that they often backfire and more often serve not to eliminate a strong man, but to strengthen him and his cult of personality. Mussolini showed how that's done. Now, is she implying here that Trump staged this to try to be another Mussolini? I think she's kind of maybe flirting with the edges of the tinfoil hat, perhaps. After serving as prime minister of a coalition government, Mussolini had declared a dictatorship in January 1925. Oh, you know what Trump didn't do the last time he was in power? What is it? I know, declare a dictatorship. Right. Because he left. Because dictators don't leave. But Trump's not a dictator. So anyway, I digress. The Gibson shooting was the third attempt on Mussolini's life after that. The earlier attacks were by Italian anti-fascist Tito Zamboni, who I don't think invented the Zamboni, but maybe, I don't know, I could be wrong, a socialist member of parliament who was arrested before he could fire a bazooka at El Duce from a hotel room he had rented, and the anarchist Gino Lucchetti threw a bomb at Mussolini's motorcade that failed to explode. By the time Gibson fired her gun, Mussolini had used a string of attacks as justification to issue a series of laws for the defense of the state that transformed Italy from a democracy to a regime. Grounded in a huge expansion of the powers of the executive branch at the express expense of the judiciary and parliament, Mussolini and his fascist party, I got a text here, some breaking news here. Okay, Supreme Court rejects Missouri effort to block sentencing and the gag order against Trump in New York case. David Gelman just sent me that a few moments ago. I think we mentioned that earlier, but thank you for saying that to me. By the time Gibson fired her gun, Mussolini had used a string of attacks as justification to issue a series of laws for the defense of state and call for national unity. So you clearly see where the author's going with this, that Trump's bandage on his ear, Mussolini's bandage on his nose, will just be another way that Trump can go in there and he can turn around and he can be a dictator this time around because, well, he almost was killed too, just like Mussolini. These people are insane. At least, though, they're going with Mussolini and not just Hitler. So they're being creative. Got to give them that. Because, you know, they have to compare Trump to either Hitler or Mussolini every day in this country. It's now the law. So, but if you really want to know about the true fascism in this country, look to our laws. as Justice Neil Gorsuch talked about, he did a great sit-down interview today with Sandra Smith on Fox News, and he talked about how all the laws are going against the little people in this country. He even talked about a woman who was braiding hair. She was braiding hair for years and years until the state of Texas came in and said, you don't have a barber license, and shut down her business, tried to force her to go to barber school for 3 years. She didn't have the money to do it, and she fought her case all the way up to the Supreme Court. And Justice Neil Gorsuch said, you know what? We were able to do right there by stopping laws that work against people who are trying to get ahead in life. That's actually what fascism really is, if you think about it, at the end of the day. Justice Gorsuch also talked about Biden's Supreme Court reform proposals and said, be careful, be very, very careful. This is what he said. He has a new book out. We're going to try to get him on the show. But he was on Fox News Sunday. He was asked a question about what Biden wants to do to reform the Supreme Court, which, of course, is ultimately the left's goal, which the left has long had a goal of packing the Supreme Court and turning it into a mini legislature so that they can get their way through the things that are not popular with Congress. I'll play you that clip upon my return. But first, I want to thank our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo for their incredible support of the show and our station. And there has never been a better time to get the Cherry Hill Volvo right now for the Cherry Hill Volvo 2024 model year sell down. You see, relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. I say it all the time. Now, we drive, our family car is the XC90, and we love it. We love how fast it is, how stylish it is. And we love that at Cherry Hill Volvo, they build great relationships by providing you a luxury Volvo buying experience, by always doing what is right and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And as a result, so many of their customers, myself included, become customers for life. See, Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and the value that they provide. You will get the absolute best deal on a new Volvo, Cherry Hill Volvo, while enjoying fantastic experience and that luxury experience you deserve. Take advantage of the Cherry Hill Volvo 2024 model year sell down now. I've had the pleasure of driving all their cars, from the S-Class, which is made right here in the United States of America, to the XC90, the family car that we have, to the Volvo XC40, the XC60, two great SUVs that are super safe and fast and so incredibly luxurious. But most importantly, more than anything, is the experience you get at Cherry Hill Volvo, the region's most accessible Volvo dealer, right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. And remember, of all the Volvo dealerships out there, there's only one that stands with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, and that's Cherry Hill Volvo, on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Rich Zeoli from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Congratulations to George in Springfield. He won the pair of tickets to see Donald Trump Jr. with Dom Giordano at our next Politics and Pints. And we'll have more tickets to give away this week. If you want to get your tickets, go to 1210WPHG.com. Again, it's Politics and Pints with Donald Trump Jr. coming up on September 12th, Scottish Rite Auditorium. So two major things that I want to get to before the end of the show today. So the first, continuing with the theme of Josh Shapiro. So Todd Shepard, who's the investigative reporter at Broad and Liberty, wrote a piece earlier today about this, and that is that Josh Shapiro is now claiming he did not know anything about the alleged sexual harassment scandal in the governor's office that led to a really big cover-up and settlement. All right, so that's the story from our friends over at broadandliberty.com. Now, you got to understand something. This is complete and utter BS. Of course he knew about it. There's no way he couldn't have his governor, but I'll get into that in just a moment. The other big story, of course, is the Supreme Court has denied a request to delay the sentencing of former President Donald Trump till after the election. So as of right now, the sentencing of the former president is going to go forward potentially in September. This has to do with the New York case, the gag order case. Now, they did delay the sentencing of Hunter Biden on the gun case. But the Supreme Court denied a motion to step in and rule on a lawsuit brought by the state of Missouri that attempted to temporarily block legal proceedings in the case of New York versus former President Donald Trump. Justices Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas said they would have granted the state's request to file a bill of complaint, but would not grant the relief the state was seeking. Legal surrogate and attorney for President Donald Trump, David Gelman, said it was a Hail Mary effort by the Missouri AG to get the Supreme Court to block the legal proceedings. That's called thinking outside the box. This still doesn't mean the sentencing will happen in September, and if it does, it will be appealed faster than the Democrats dropping Biden, he said earlier today. So that's the latest on that, and we'll keep you posted on that. Obviously, we'll see if the sentencing actually happens in September or not. Now, the other big story is that the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, is claiming he didn't know about the sexual misconduct allegations against his staffer until months later. So I've brought this up before several times to you about this big cover-up now. And broadandliberty.com is saying that Governor Shapiro now claiming that after his Secretary of Legislative Affairs had been accused by a subordinate of sexual misconduct and harassment in the workplace in 2023, he did not find out about either the accusation or the resulting investigation until months after the events. The new revelation, stemming from a statement made by Shapiro's spokesperson to the New York Times, raises a fresh set of questions, especially given that the governor met with a number of female state senators soon after news of the scandal broke to reassure them that his office took workplace sexual harassment seriously. Two Republican state senators reacted to the new line of defense with astonishment, essentially saying the argument was hard, if not impossible, to believe. Meanwhile, a request for comment was not returned from numerous female Democratic senators who had expressed concern with Shapiro's office and how it handled the issue. The original matter dates back to the earliest weeks of the Shapiro administration, nearly all of February and the first week of March of 2023. At that time, a young woman went to work in the governor's office of legislative affairs, headed up by Shapiro's longtime ally, Mike Voreb. Shapiro's administration was just being formed, so new offices were coming together. New working relationships were being formed. But on March 7th, the woman abruptly resigned. She later wrote a highly detailed 11-page interview statement in which she alleged that Voreb had initially been controlling and possessive. But those behaviors later became more aggressive, she said. At one point, the accuser says Voreb made sexually explicit remarks about the two of them entering a physical relationship. The interview statement was signed on March 31st, 2023, and then formed the basis of a complaint to the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, which adjudicates such matters. Broad Liberty was first to break the news of the allegations against Voreb on September 28th, 2023, one day after he resigned. Quote, given the 200 plus days between the accuser's departure in March and Voreb's resignation on Wednesday, the affair raises questions for the first term governor about the degree to which Governor Shapiro believed Voreb over the accuser and his willingness to risk keeping a potential liability on staff. That's what they wrote at the time. Now, Shapiro is claiming he was unaware. The key passage from the New York Times article authored by Sharon Lafreniere says, quote, in a statement Friday night, Manuel Bonder, a spokesman for Mr. Shapiro, said the governor was not aware of the complaint or investigation until months after the complaint was filed. Mr. Shapiro should have been notified of the allegations sooner and is now ordered that he be immediately informed of any such complaint against a senior staff or cabinet member. Now, let's just break from the article for a second. I don't believe this for a moment, because remember on Friday, I went into great detail with you about the whole thing and then the reforms that they put in place after this happened and how Shapiro had a very, very, very tense relationship with the Senate pro temp, a woman, Republican, from Westmoreland County. And it only got worse after that. And then they came up with all these like fugazi reforms and everything like this. But the point that I made yesterday on Fox News, and it's a point that I've been making, is, okay, why don't you release this woman from the nondisclosure agreement so she can go out there and tell her story? It's a point that Gretchen Carlson made last week. We played the audio view for that. Let her talk. She said she was retaliated against by the governor's office. If that's true, that's a huge deal. So then let her go out there and speak. Let's have the conversation. Let's hear about it. Todd Shepard, writing at Barton Liberty, points out that although the motive behind the new statement is not completely clear, it seems reasonable to think Shapiro is responding to criticisms of how long Vareb continued to linger in his job after the allegations were made. However, certain elements of the timeline can be gleaned from different sources, which either cast doubt on Shapiro's new account or would otherwise seem to implicate members of his top staff of extreme negligence, none of which would reflect well on the Shapiro administration. So, first, according to the accuser's account, she levied her accusations against Vareb on March 6, 2023, in a meeting with her superior, Adrienne Mueller, Vareb's executive deputy secretary of legislative affairs, as well as Dorice Mayhew, the governor's director of administration. Early the next morning, on March 7, 2022, an email went out to certain members of Shapiro's staff saying that the accuser had just quit. Then, 2:34 p.m. the same day, an email was circulated discussing internal personnel matters. That email included both Executive Deputy Chief of Staff Larry Halesham and Mayhew, according to a document log obtained by Broad and Liberty. Having the Executive Deputy Chief of Staff looped in on the accuser's departure so quickly would seem to get the matter placed close to the governor, unless the underlings were keeping the core matter from him. The accuser signed her complaint to the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission on May 26, 2023. And the complaint also says a simultaneous filing was made with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Either of those actions should have triggered the governor's notice. Finally, documents show the $295,000 out-of-court settlement between the accuser and Shapiro's administration was finalized on September 5th, 2023, when the mediator signed the agreement. Shapiro's attorney signed the agreement on September 1st. Negotiations would have taken place for days, if not weeks, before the agreement could be finalized. So what we're supposed to believe is that the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who by the way, claimed he was a Me Too guy, claimed he was a guy who was out there fighting for women, claimed he was a guy who was out there who was going to defend the rights of women accused of sexual harassment in the workplace. We're supposed to believe that his office agreed to a $295,000 payout to the accuser, and he didn't know anything about it. He didn't know anything about it. Shapiro had to have known about the allegations by this time, Todd Shepard writes, or else his office was somehow able to execute a $295,000 settlement without the governor's knowledge, especially because the $45,000 of the settlement had to come from somewhere in the governor's office's own funds. Yet Vareb remained in office for another 3 to 4 weeks after the settlement was signed. Broad and Liberty emailed a request for comment to Democratic Senators Katie Muth of Montgomery, Lisa Biscola, Amanda Capoliti, Judith Schwenk, and Christine Targalitone, in an effort to make sure that request for comment was not missed. They also included the press secretary for the Democratic Senate caucus and texted the press secretary as well. None of those parties responded. Now, I'm arguing, my point is that I hammered Shapiro on this all last week. The story was they were trying to bury it in the corporate media. I brought it up again in Fox News yesterday. And as of this moment, Kamala Harris has apparently still not made her pick. So I said, the point I made yesterday on the show was, well, this is going to be kind of a big scandal. The fact that this has not come out yet is amazing to me, but it's going to come out. It has to. This is a major scandal, and this woman should be able to talk. I talked about how after this scandal happened, Pennsylvania then tried to make the reforms around these payouts and that sort of thing and make them public and all the other stuff and blah, 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 blah. But Shapiro was hit pretty hard at the time by Spotlight PA, WHYY, Philadelphia Inquirer. In fact, Philadelphia Inquirer reported the lawmakers, some of whom had questioned Shapiro's handling of the allegations lodged against Mike Vareb, his top liaison to the General Assembly, declined to comment after the meeting. Because there was a meeting apparently with Shapiro about a week after his departure to discuss concerns about how the matter had been handled. Some left the hour-long closed-door meeting visibly frustrated, and one senator later said later said she still had unanswered questions. The Pennsylvania Senate's top-ranking officer, Senate President Pro Tem Kim Ward of Westmoreland, provided unvarnished criticisms in the wake of the "I didn't know" line of defense from Shapiro and his press secretary. She said the following, quote, "It is unimaginable that Governor Josh Shapiro had no knowledge of the sexual harassment incidents taking place in his own office. Let's be clear. There were not one, but two cabinet-level secretaries who are direct reports to Shapiro named in the sexual harassment matter. One stepped down on his own, and the other remains in the powerful advisory role to Shapiro to this day." She's referring to Akbar Hossein, who was Shapiro's Secretary of Policy and Planning. The accuser's complaint said Hossein made sexually inappropriate remarks suggesting the accuser was already in a physical relationship with Mike Vareb, the aide. It's not currently clear the degree to which these allegations have been addressed. Quote, "It is becoming apparent that any attention Shapiro or his staff gave this matter was protective to cover their office. Shapiro has had every opportunity to step up and do the right thing and has failed every time." Senator Ward added, "Leadership and culture start at the top. Shapiro's excuse that he didn't know until months after two of his top advisors were named in a sexual harassment complaint by an employee in his own office is simply not believable." Senator Kristen Phillips of York was also highly critical given the new remarks made by Bonder. Quote, "More than a year later, the sexual harassment incident involving Governor Shapiro's inner circle remains unresolved. Worse yet, and with each inquiry, we uncover more evidence that a thorough investigation was never completed. It is clear Governor Shapiro's words and actions don't match as demonstrated by the timeline of emails and date. Equally disturbing in this matter is the other cabinet secretary named in the claim remains a direct report to the governor to this day. And there's no evidence that his actions were ever addressed. I know the governor has his eyes set on the Naval Observatory, the vice president's official residence, but perhaps he could learn from someone who once served as vice president, Harry Truman, who had a slogan on his desk that read, 'The buck stops here.' Under the Shapiro administration, words get broken and blame gets passed. The hypocrisy of claiming to protect victims of sexual harassment while his administration quickly and quietly hands out NDAs should not be lost on anyone. It's a pattern of behavior that needs to be remedied through bipartisan legislation because Governor Shapiro can't lead the effort." I'll tell you what the accuser's attorney also had to say regarding this new turn of events straight ahead.
Free speech lives here on Odyssey's number one talk station. Talk Radio 1210. 1210 WPHT.
All right, so there's some more breaking news. I just posted this video on X. It was just posted a short time ago. And it is a caravan of black SUVs that just left Governor Tim Walz's residence in Minnesota. So this guy who posted this video is a guy, Dan Green, who I live outside of Tim Walz's residence. I am live outside of Tim Walz's residence. A bunch of black SUVs just rolled out. I'm not a betting man, but the vibe seemed very, this guy just got picked as VP. Now, I'll tell you, this is very reminiscent of what happened with J.D. Vance. If you remember J.D. Vance, I was at the RNC and there was the video and I actually tweeted it out and it got picked up by a couple of sites. I mean, it wasn't my tweet, but I just pointed out that Forbes had observed, again, very similar, big black giant SUVs picking up J.D. Vance. Now, 2 points here to note. Number one is this. Governors typically drive around in SUVs. A senator doesn't. So with J.D. Vance, the fact that J.D. Vance was getting picked up in several big black SUVs and there was a motorcade and everything like this made me say right away, okay, well, he's definitely the pick, because the reason why is that J.D. Vance wouldn't have that kind of a detail. Not as a senator. Governors do. But then the other big tell are the license plates. So the license plates that picked up J.D. Vance, they were Maryland plates. Maryland is Secret Service. Now, the Secret Service would not necessarily go out to Minnesota with their SUVs. They would use SUVs that were part of the local state police. If they were going to assume protection of him because he's being named as the vice presidential candidate, that couldn't be a tell in this instance necessarily. But I don't know the license plates. The video is not clear enough to me. It looks to me like they're Minnesota license plates. And it also doesn't look like it's a massive motorcade. It could just be his governor's motorcade. But just for comparison's sake, I mean, most governors get two SUVs. There's a lead car and a chase car. This particular video right now that they're showing shows at least one, two, three, four big black SUVs outside of Governor Tim Walz's residence in Minnesota. Now, here's the other thing, too, which is that if that's the case and it's not Shapiro, is it the sexual harassment allegation that got him? Is it that he's Jewish that got him? Is it both that got him? And then how's that going to be if the announcement's made that it's Walz and she does a big rally in Philadelphia tomorrow? Does Josh take the stage? Does he offer his full fledged support? Does he cry and stay home? What does Shapiro wind up doing? But that's the breaking news. That a caravan of black SUVs just left Governor Tim Walz's residence in Minnesota. All right, we will have more for you on this tomorrow. Join me on Fox News tomorrow morning, 9:15 a.m. in America's Newsroom. Have a great rest of your night. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.